Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you remember when we went through the book of Acts, and you remember as Paul went to Ephesus, he spent a couple of years there. You remember the wickedness of that city. As Paul was there for a couple of years, established a church at Ephesus. They had the Temple of Diana, I believe it was there. And just like starting a church in Las Vegas. And so you can imagine the immorality that it abounded. And in this church, there's some new believers. And the saints there, many of them were Gentiles that were saved as adults. And now some time has passed, maybe perhaps up to 10 years has passed before Paul writes this letter. And so I'm going to look at this particular part that he says in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read a few verses there. And it was stated, Paul gives this to that church to be an encouragement for them as they try to continue on the work that God has called them to do. Left on the pages of Scripture for White River Baptist Church. So I want to help you today. I want to help you through the preaching of the Word of God so that you might be strengthened in His Word and carry on that good work in which God has started here. Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me in verse number 11. And those first two words really caught my attention. The Bible says, wherefore, remember. Remember. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh. Now remember, he's not only speaking to them, but he's speaking to us today. Remember that ye, being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, I've circled that in my Bible. But now, praise the Lord, I can say, but now. In Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, and this verse really caught my attention, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let's go to the Lord and say, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, by your mercy. There's not one of us here worthy of being in your house. Not one of us worthy of opening up the precious words of life. Not one of us worthy of indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, by your wonderful grace and love towards us, you've saved us. You brought us here tonight. You have caused us to come together as your church to do the work you've called us to do. And Lord, I pray you'd encourage your people. I pray you'd do something in our hearts that would cause us, Lord, to be more fervent in these last days. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's needful. I believe if we're going to be fervent in these last days, it really is very needful for us to remember. And when we remember, boy, it really excites in us this willingness just to serve the Lord in a greater way. I want you to remember tonight. I want you to remember the past. It says, remember time past. Go back in your past, and for those that are older in the faith, and for those that were like many of those people that were a member of the Ephesus church, you came to the Lord later in life. Now, it applies to all of us, no matter when you came to the Lord, because you always had that flesh on the inside, and there had to be a time that you yielded yourself to the Lord as anybody else. So many of you can remember a past, can't you? You can go back and you can remember a time in your former life. You can remember the sins and where they took you. I look upon you, and some of those sins took you to a prison house. Some of it took you to the jailhouse, to brokenness and emptiness. All of us, we can remember when our heart wasn't bent toward God. I can remember. I wasn't saved until I was 23 years of age, and I can remember when I was a scoffer. Boy, I hate that. I wish I was saved at a very early age, but I can remember it wasn't until I was 23, and I can remember a time when I look back on my past that I was profane and I was corrupt and I was a mocker, and a time when I lived a different lifestyle than I live right now. Some of you can remember a time past when you were drunkards, when you were unthankful, when you were unholy, and the God of this world had blinded your mind, though to those who believe not. You remember when you were not a believer? Can you go back in that time in your mind? Remember the sins? I don't glory in my sins. I never glory about the past sinful life that I once lived, as some do. They glory about how it used to be. I don't find no pleasure in how things used to be in my past. That emptiness that filled my soul. And so that's true. Even that emptiness is true, even of the younger ones, so you can relate in part to what I'm saying. But I remember the sin, and I remember the guilt. I remember the mornings after. I remember all those times when I was a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. And when Sunday would come around, I had on my mind no intention or no thought or no desire to come into the house of God. That was not a day of worship for me, but a day of pleasure. There was no prayer before meals. I remember that life. I'm glad it's long past. I'm glad it goes back several years now. I remember when I didn't have a heart of thanksgiving. Oh, but God has changed me, and I'm glad He has. And there was a day when everything changed for me. How good it is to remember, though, where God has brought us from. Because remembering can cause a sense of gratitude and service. Remembering what God has done will cause you to thank God. Because look what He's done. He's taken you out of a miry clay and set your feet upon a solid rock. God has made something out of your life, out of my life. I was in the gutter of life. I was bound for hell like we all were. But now I'm bound for the promised land. And that's not just words, but when I meditate upon those things, what glory. That I can look where I used to be, and now all that I have waiting on me and the rewards in heaven, remembering His work and what He's done, remembering the work in my life and how He's touched me, it causes me to live for Him. It excites me to tell others about Him. It causes me to express a humility and a devotion to Him when I remember. And so Paul starts out here to this church at Ephesus. And so tonight I want to cause you to think back and to remember, as it says here in verse number 11, remember time past. That time before you came and knew the Lord. Simple message, 2 points. I want you to remember who we were and then to remember who we are now. In verse 19 it says, remember who you were in times past. When the Bible says in verse number 12, we were strangers to God. As it says there in verse number, I think that says verse number 19. I can't hardly read it. But that you are no more strangers. There was a time when we were strangers to God. Now, He knew me, but I stood afar off from Him. And I can tell you, I knew some things about God. In my times past, before I was saved, I knew some things about God. In fact, if you would have told me that God is the creator of the world, I'd agree with you. I had no problem with that. I could even tell you the stories of Noah and the flood. I could tell you, and I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I believe that. I could tell you the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and I believed it was true. As a lost person in times past, before that I was saved, I would agree with those things just because it was how I was raised. I wasn't raised in church, but I had a good moral home, and every once in a while somebody would take me to Sunday school, and I had no problems with those things. In fact, I believed those things. I believed the stories of Jesus. I believed in the cross. If you would have said, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world? I would have said, well, yeah, I believe that's what the Bible says. And I understood. I had no problem with that. But it was different then. Because even though I knew about Him, I did not know Him. I knew about Him. And there's a lot of people today that know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't know Him. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll worship Him. You must. You have to. It's in me. I worry about people. And I know and I understand there's times that people can backslide. But when you know Jesus, you must worship Him. You must love Him. You must serve Him. If you know Him, you must live for Him. You say, how can you back that up? 1 John chapter 2, verse number 19, they went out from us, the Bible says. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt. There'd have been no doubt. There'd be no doubt they would have continued with us. Now, I'm not saying that people can't backslide. They can. And people do backslide. And most of the time, those people will come back by the grace and the glory of God. But I am telling you, when it comes to you, where you, it's not just about knowing about Him, but you know Him, then there's a difference in your life. And you can remember something different from the past than where things are right now. Do you remember when you were without God in the world? When you had absolutely no regard, you understood the cross. But it didn't mean anything to you personally, the blood of Christ and all that Christ. When I think today upon the cross of what Jesus has done for me and the sufferings of Christ, when I go and I look at Gethsemane and Him there and the agony that He went through, I'm going to tell you something. It does something to me. And you, if you're saved, if you're a saved child of God, and it was different then. I knew the story, and I would agree with the story, but the story did not move me. I didn't have no real regard for the cross. I choose to live a life separated from Him. I'm talking about remembering who you were. If you're saved here tonight, you can go back. Because there was a time when you were different, that you lived different. You were strangers. And that word strangers means that you're without knowledge. If you look that word up, and the Strong's Dictionary will say without knowledge, where we're strangers to the customs of God. Boy, I could testify to that. Christians spoke a different language before I wore one. When I would listen to a Christian, they spoke differently. They had a strange vocabulary. Their vocabulary was much different than my vocabulary now. You remember if you were saved later in life when you spoke with a different tongue? I don't like to think about those things too much. But here God says, remember the times past, and there's a purpose for that. Because when I remember what God has done, how grateful I become. So I'm remembering tonight when I had a tongue that did not care for God, did not care to honor God. I didn't watch my words. I had no concern to be careful with my words. In fact, the truth be known, many times I would blaspheme God with my own words. Well, God didn't say. Or who cares? Or God forbid we'd use His name in vain. But do you remember when you had a different tongue? You spoke differently than you do now. And let me tell you, Christianity is a different culture, isn't it? Didn't you look at those people as some real weirdos? I did. I mean, they're some weirdos. I looked into the church and the people that I knew, the genuine Christians that lived the life. You know, those that were different, that were set apart, that were sanctified, that were genuinely saved. When you looked at, they had a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no doubt that they were bearing fruit for the Lord. And I didn't know that then, but I knew there was something about genuine Christianity and this false Christianity. When you looked at someone that was genuine and true, that was just a completely different culture. You might as well take me and drop me off a plane in the middle of India. Could you imagine being dropped off in the middle of India? What a strange people, strange customs compared to us here in the United States. It's a different way of life. I'm going to tell you, Christianity was different. When I think back, there was a different people. They dressed different. They talked different. They acted different. Those people, you couldn't drag them to a rated R movie. Did you? You didn't hear what I said, did you? They watched their tongue. You couldn't get them to go after work and have a drink with you. It was different. They went to church on Wednesday night. What is the matter with those people? They were strange and peculiar. Because true Christians act in ways we don't understand because there's a clash of kingdoms. And I'm living on the wrong side when I remember my times past. when I was a stranger to God, to the customs of God. I was a stranger to the laws of God. What strange laws they have in this thing they call Christianity. I looked up some strange laws on the internet. It's kind of fun just searching the web at some crazy things, some strange laws on the internet. You know, in my law in Italy, it's illegal to frown in public. Some of you could never go there. You'd be arrested on the first day. It's illegal to frown in public. I had to look it up. I said, ain't no way that's true. I looked it up, and from what I could tell, there were several articles. It's against the law to frown in Milan, Italy. My goodness, I'm thinking about moving there. In Singapore, it's illegal to chew gum. I have no idea why. They don't sell gum in Singapore because it's illegal to chew gum in Singapore. I don't know why. I like a little Hubba Bubba. You know what I mean? Every once in a while, I want to have a little juicy fruit. But it's illegal there in Singapore. And as Christianity, you know, some things are just really strange. I didn't know why. Why do those people do that? Why do they follow those laws? Some of you older in the faith that were saved older, you understand what I'm talking about, don't you? In Oklahoma, I know that's not another country, but it's almost. In Oklahoma, it's illegal to make bad faces in some parts of Oklahoma, bad faces at dogs and to wrestle bears. And I'm thinking, my goodness, you have to be told not to wrestle a bear, something wrong. That's a strange law. But I think, you know, it must be there for a purpose. There must have been some people there that were wrestling bears. Well, there's some strange laws, and God's kingdom is made up of some very strange laws to me when I think back in my past. What do you mean that a woman has a right to her body and she can abort her baby? That doesn't sound right to me. I mean, when you think about Christianity, when I look in the inside of Christianity, that's a strange law. What do you mean I cannot choose my own gender? I seem silly to be now. What do you mean that there's no drunkenness and you got to love your enemy and you got to turn the cheek and you got to give from the heart? Those are some strange laws, my friend. It says we were strangers here in verse number 19 and foreigners. I looked up that word foreigners. That word foreigners means that we had no right to the things of God. I've got it here somewhere. I passed it up a long time ago. But it means we have no right. We're a foreigner. And I can relate with that. I was in God's world, but I was not of God's world. I was like an illegal alien, you know, then. There's illegal aliens in the United States of America. They're foreigners. And something about a foreigner, you know, their loyalties are different. Their loyalties are from wherever they are from. When I was in Mexico, my loyalty was still in the United States of America. There's people going back to Israel, men and women, Jewish men and women going back to Israel because that's where their loyalty is from. I remember when I lived in God's world, but I was loyal to a different king. I can remember that. A foreigner, like I said, is a non-citizen. Here it is, a non-citizen with limited rights. They have no real voice in the laws. They have no right to cast their vote. They have no right of provision, of protection of the law. I was listening to Trump make a speech, and he said the first thing he's going to do if he's elected president again is he's going to deport the illegal immigrants in the United States. You say, how could he do that? Well, because they have no constitutional rights to be here. That's why. They don't have any rights. They have very limited rights. And I remember in my past when I had no right to the things of God. Not even the one promise outside of that of salvation if I would turn to him. I had no right to God's peace. I had no right to God's comfort, his protection, his provision. A foreigner, as the Bible says here in verse number 12, is without the promises. They don't have the promises of God. No promise of peace on earth. No promise of future blessings. They're without hope. In verse 12 it says they had no hope. I mean, what hope does an unbeliever have? They have no hope. What hope of the afterlife do they have? They have no hope. I remember when I was lost, I was just relying, well, maybe I'll be good enough. everything will be okay, that I was relying on some morality to save me. I was relying on some universal salvation to save me. But the truth is, I was a foreigner without God, without Christ. And what a terrible thought that is to have now. Going through life without God. Boy, that's causing me to be. There was no evidence of His favor on me then. There was no assurance of His love and comfort outside of that which is universal. There was no atonement for my sin without me accepting it. We had no advocate with the Father. What is life without God? And so it says, think back. You see, why would I want to think back? Not to glory on those things, certainly not. But to think back where you were, to look on who you were, and now to think and remember who you are. And it says there in verse number 19, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. See, now, when I think about who I am now, I have become a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm brought nigh to God, as it says in verse number 13. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ on that special day, on January 27, 1992, by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, He broke down that wall, that partition that was between me and Him, as the Bible speaks of here. On that day, I became a citizen of His kingdom. And I entered into a covenant with Him. You know what? If you become a legal citizen, if you're an illegal alien and you want to become a legal citizen, there's some things that you have to do. You have to take a test, and at the end you have to make an oath to the United States. Let me read that. I pulled that up just out of curiosity, and here's what it says. It says this: I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and adjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have theretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law, and that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law. And I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. That's what they have to say. And you know, even though I didn't understand everything then like I do now, when I was on my hands and knees on that day in January 27th, I took an oath, a similar oath to my God. All these words may not have came out just like this, but I can tell you when I yielded myself to God, you know what I was saying? I am now on the Lord's side. I'm coming over from this kingdom to God's kingdom. I'm no longer a part of the world, and I bear true faith to Jesus Christ alone. And I will, you hear all these things about, I will perform. And in that prayer, in my heart, and that's what it is, it's a matter of heart that's submitting to God. In that prayer, I am going to perform and work and serve Him, and I make this obligation to Him freely, with no reservation and no purpose of evasion. You know what that is? That is faith and repentance. You remember that day that you got on your hands and knees, don't matter what you said, but in your heart, all those things were true. I took that oath in prayer on my knees. I remember when I bound myself to Jesus Christ. When I enlisted in His army, I was His servant, His subject. I was willing and at that time became His ambassador. I remember how it used to be. Now I'm remembering who I am now because of that day. And everything changed for this little boy. Nothing will ever be the same again. That change takes a little bit of time, doesn't it? Some things change right away. Other things came as knowledge came, and there was a willingness to submit to that. And that change is still taking place as I'm being sanctified on this earth. And so that change continues on, but there was a great change that took place that day. and his law was written in my heart. And do you know what happened? He changed me. We became a new man. And now those customs were no longer strange. I was changed into a new man. And do you know that right away my speech became different? And I had a desire to be sanctified, to be set apart for him in dress and drink and life. You know what happened? I had a desire that came, and I wanted to be holy like him. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. That was the work that God did inside each of us. And now my loyalty was to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was my sovereign king. He died for me, and now I'm going to live for him. His kingdom is above all kingdoms of the earth. God rules supreme in my heart. And now I have rights as a citizen. I'm talking about who I am now. Then I knew something about him, but I didn't know him. But when I knew him and I yielded myself to him, there was an evident change that came into my heart and into my life. And now we have the promises of God. Each and everyone that's born again, I have the promises of God. The Father's watching over every hair on our head. Jesus is our good shepherd. And I know that all that live godly shall suffer persecution, but we have something now that we did not have then. The Bible says this in Hebrews, a promise of God in 13:5. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the promise you and I have. God gives me great boldness and comfort. David said this in Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Boy, it's good to remember. It's good to remember where I came from and where I am right now. That I have the promises of God as a citizen. I'm entitled to certain privileges. I have promised a provision. Do you know that God has said he has not seen his seed begging bread? That in Matthew 6 and verse 33, he says, I'm going to take care of all your needs. You just trust me and put me first. I'm going to take care of all your needs. I'm not going to fret about that. No, sir. I have a promise of God that I didn't have before. I have a promise of future blessings. I won't read all these for sake of time, but in John 14, do you know what I'm saying? I have a mansion. Now, you call it whatever you want. The Bible calls it a mansion, and so I'm going to call it a mansion. I've got a mansion in heaven that he's preparing for me right now. That's what I have. I have the hope and a sure, steadfast hope that there's going to be a day he's going to come back, and when he does, I'm going to have a new body that Superman would be jealous of. That's right. That's a promise to me. That's a promise to you. In Revelation 21, the Bible says the place that we're going to enter in the end is going to be a place that's going to be no sickness, no death, and the beauty is indescribable. And God's in the center. Jesus Christ is the light of it. Oh, what a future that I have now. I remember where I was on my way to an eternal hell, and I remember where I am right now. Why does that matter? Oh, it helps me. Now, I'm just preaching to you tonight in a simple few minutes. And it'd do you good to remember, to meditate and think upon it often throughout your life, because we have a sure hope now. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, never to be taken away. My life now has meaning and purpose and direction. And here's even more. When you look in this passage of Scripture, not only are we fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I'm going to tell you, it'd be enough just to be considered a servant of God and to live him with eternity. What a joy that would be. But he said, now you have become a child of God. And he's not only my king, but he's my father. That's more than a legal relationship. It's very personal. And that's what salvation is. It's very personal. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse number 12 and 13, listen to what it says. But as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I am now, I'm remembering, not only important to remember what I was, but what I am. I'm a child of God with all the promises of God. I have access to the Father as a child does his own earthly father. I can approach the throne room of God in the name of Jesus. And it would be enough to praise him throughout all eternity if he simply didn't condemn me because I deserve hell, but he made me his son, his heir. You're a son. You're an heir of God if you remember who you are. How different it is now. And so, as I'm reading through this passage of Scripture, I come to those two first words in verse number 11. And it says, wherefore, remember. Well, it's good for us to remember. Remember who we were. Who you used to be. A citizen of a different country. I remember when I followed a different king. I don't like to think about it too much. I don't like that part of my life. You know, people glory in all the fun they have. I had no peace back then. There was no will to life. There was no real purpose. I remember when what I'm doing now was such a strange culture. So different, a different lifestyle. I remember when I was profane and destitute and lonely, a stranger and a foreigner to God, like God says right here. I remember that time. Jerry can go back in his life. If it wasn't for God, he'd still be under a cliff somewhere. Smoking dope, amounting to nothing. But God. I can look back here and see the tenors. I can look at the webs. I can look at the rights. I can look at many of you and say the same thing. Look where you were. I'm a mess. You're a mess without God. And look at you now. Look what God has done to you. I remember where my sins took me. I remember the destruction it led to. I remember when I was on my way to hell, but one day everything changed. Do you remember that day? I remember one day, and I know there's time to backslide, but I remember a day where it all began, where the change began. And I became a citizen of God's kingdom. I was saved. I was changed by the blood. I had taken an oath. I had now enjoyed the promises of my heavenly Father. I'm now a child of God. And the Holy Spirit bearing witness to that fact each and every day. Now, I know this. You're either a citizen of the United States or you're not. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You know whether you're a citizen of the United States or not. And you know whether you're a citizen of the kingdom of God or not. I assume that most, if not all, are here. Can I ask you, was the time that you have been changed, the time that God invited you to him and you pledged your allegiance to him. You didn't know what to say, but in your heart, you said, God, here I am. I believe in you. I'm going to follow you. Some, all of us at times, need to remember who we are. I'm going to say there's some that have been saved that they need to remember who they are. And what I mean by that, we live differently. Christians live differently. Can I ask you, do you have a different culture? Do you live differently than the world lives? I'm going to share one more verse with you. Just one more passage of Scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what it says beginning in verse number 3. Oh, I love this passage of Scripture. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God's given me everything that I need and you everything that you need to live this life that he's called us to. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You have those. I have those. Because we are a child of God. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And that's what God has called you to. Not then, but now. He's called you to a divine nature now. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust and besides this, he said there's something else that's going to be continually happening. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. And he adds all these things that are continually in our life and growing in our life. And then he makes this statement, for if these things be in you and abound. Are those things in you? They're in you if you're born again. Are they abounding in you? Are they abounding? They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, there's some that are lacking these things, some in the faith that are lacking these things. He that lacking these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Says, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Be sure that you're saved, and be sure that you're living your life as God has empowered you to live, having a difference, being fruitful for the Lord. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Boy, it's good to be with you. Why? When I remember where I came from and where I'm now, I'm not talking about I'm a great person. You understand what I'm saying. The promises that I have in Christ, that I'm now a child of God, all that God has done for me. You know what I want to do? When I remember where I was, where I am now, I just want to live for him. I want to serve him. Christian, I'm asking you. I believe probably most everyone, not everyone here is saved. If not, I pray if God's dealing with your heart, that you'd make it sure today before you leave. But then if you know, you can go back to that day. You know you've placed your hope. You've made that oath in your heart for Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, are you living for him? Why don't you remember all that God has done for you? And when you really do, you meditate upon the promises of God, you won't be able to help yourself. You'll come down to the altar, you'll fall on your knees wherever you are, and you'll say, God, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to serve you with everything that I have. Because that's what a Christian does. A Christian that follows God and knows who they are and knows what has happened to them can't help but to serve God. Wherefore, amen. This thing proceeds tonight at time of invitation. If Miss Jessica comes and begins to play the piano, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the invitation time. If God's dealing with your heart about anything, perhaps you just want to come up and pledge your loyalty to him all over again. I want to give you that opportunity. If God's dealt with you, maybe you've never trusted him completely in your heart. You've always held something back, and you know you need to be saved today. That you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to help us to examine ourselves in the light of your word. Not by what we think or not even what we feel, though we know your spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But what we know to be true based upon the light of God's word. As every head is bowed, and Lord, I pray that if you would cause us to understand if there's anything lacking in our life. Because, Lord, more than anything, we want you to receive glory in our life. And we need you to move. We need you to correct us. We need, Lord, opportunities to rededicate. Lord, whatever it may be. But I pray, Lord, by your grace, that you'd speak personally to each person I see. We ask that you do this, Lord. Amen. With your head bowed.